I'd like it to take you to the Old Testament for the time that we have for our meditation on the Word this morning, to the book of Jonah. I think the book of Jonah is an exciting book to read. It's only a couple of pages. Who hasn't read the book of Jonah many times? Children love this story. But it's more than about Jonah being swallowed by a huge fish. It's more than a whole city repenting. It's really about Jonah. And the story is, of course, and it's a true story, and if you don't believe that, you wouldn't believe that Jesus would lie, would you? In Matthew 12, verse 40, Jesus says, just as Jonah the prophet was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights, so shall the Son of Man, referring to himself, be in the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights. So if you don't believe in Jonah, well then you don't believe in Jesus. Because he believed in creation, he believed in Sodom and Gomorrah, he believed in Lot, he believed in all of these Old Testament stories. They're not just stories. And we're going to learn from them this morning. Let's just pray. Father, we thank you for the prophet Jonah and the lessons we can learn from this story that he told of his own life. And we thank you for bringing him to light in the scriptures and the things that we can learn. We just want to ask you to teach us this morning as we open your word. In Jesus' name, amen. We could read right through it, but I'm sure most of us have read Jonah many times. But let's read the first chapter, which says, "Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, 'Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me.' But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind on the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship was about to be broken up. Then the mariners were afraid, and every man cried out to his God and threw the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten the load. But Jonah had gone down into the lowest parts of the ship, had lain down, and was fast asleep. So the captain came to him and said to him, 'What do you mean, sleeper? Arise, call on your God. Perhaps your God will consider us, so that we may not perish.' And they said to one another, 'Come, let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this trouble has come upon us.' So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. Then they said to him, 'Please tell us, for whose cause is this trouble upon us? What is your occupation, and where do you come from? What is your country, and of what people are you?' So he said to them, 'I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land.' Then the men were exceedingly afraid and said to him, 'Why have you done this?' For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. Then they said to him, 'What shall we do to you that the sea may be calm for us?' For the sea was growing more tempestuous. And he said to them, 'Pick me up and throw me into the sea. Then the sea will become calm for you, for I know that this great tempest is because of me.' Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to return to land, but they could not, for the sea continued to grow more tempestuous against them. Therefore they cried out to the Lord and said, 'We pray, O Lord, please do not let us perish for this man's life, and do not charge us with innocent blood. For you, O Lord, have done as it pleased you.' So they picked up Jonah and threw him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice to the Lord and took vows." If a mission society today were to ask for Jonah to come aboard, not aboard a ship, but aboard their mission society. Do you think he'd pass the test? Well, they'd ask him for his calling. He could tell them, yes, I was called by the Lord to preach to Nineveh. Yes, I had a very specific call. Then they would ask him, well, has your ministry in the past been an important ministry? Have you had some results? And he would say, yes. Just consult 2 Kings 14 and around 25, and you'll find that, yes, I had an important prophetic ministry. I prophesied under the reign of Jeroboam II that Israel would regain its borders and would expand, and it happened. So there you go. Credential number two. Then they would ask, and so, do you have a burden for the people that you were sent to? Jonah would say, as everybody says, no, I don't. Disqualified. Can't join our mission. He had a problem. A big problem. You see, some of us could think about the worst enemy Canada has. What would that be? The worst enemy might be ISIS. Might be a terrorist group that has developed over the years. That would be quite the enemy. Now, if God called you specifically, to go to the ISIS people and proclaim God's word to them so that they would repent and be saved, wouldn't that be great? Well, maybe you're starting to feel a little bit of what Jonah felt. Me go to ISIS? I'd rather that ISIS went to hell. And that's exactly what Jonah felt about Nineveh. Nineveh was the number one terrible city of Israel. It was the capital of the Assyrians. And the Assyrians were the arch enemies of Israel. So why would Jonah want to go to Nineveh so that they would repent of their sins? We get that from the last chapter. That's when Jonah says, I knew you were a forgiving God. I knew that you were a merciful God and that you might forgive them. I didn't want to go to the Ninevites. That's the problem that Jonah had. Now, how will God get to Jonah? Because it doesn't matter where you are, who you are, God is able to, in his sovereignty, get to you. In the first chapter, Jonah showed that God got to his mind. Because, I mean, later on in the second chapter, God got to Jonah's mind. Because he changed his mind, as we see in chapter 2. He got his body when Jonah went to Nineveh in obedience later on. He got his body. So he got his will in chapter 2 when he decided to go. It was a while till he got that. Then he got his body. He got his mouth. He preached. But he still didn't have his heart. God goes to no lengths. He spares nothing. He goes to all lengths to get to our heart. So it's all about Jonah and God. That's what this is about. Yes, there are other things in there. But it's all about the prophet and his relationship to God. God and me. God and you. Interesting how Jonah just wanted to flee from God's presence. So the first thing is Jonah had a plan. Jonah was going to flee from the presence of God. When he told him to go to Nineveh, Jonah panicked and he had his own plan and his own purpose. And what he proposed was rather silly, wasn't it? I'll flee from the presence of God. God wants us to practice his presence. Elijah was in the presence of God. That's the secret. When we're in his presence and know it and practice his presence. But Jonah didn't want anything to do with it. He was rebellious and he had his own plan. And he was not about going to Nineveh and doing God's will. So the first instance then is his own proposition. He proposes, Jonah proposes to go away from God's presence. How about Jonah sleeping while everybody else is there scared of the storm that God brought? And they're calling upon their gods, everyone to their own god, and he's sleeping in the bottom of the ship. He goes down to Joppa, then he goes down to the bottom of the ship, but he isn't down far enough, as we'll see. So, he knows that the storm came because of him. They're telling him to call out to his God. We're calling out to our gods. Maybe yours will hear. He doesn't even pray about it. He's not going to call on God to stop the storm. He knows why the storm's there. It's because of him. And he gives them a solution. Just toss me over and the sea will calm down. Well, they weren't about to do that either. So they tried hard and rowed more. And he just says, pick me up and throw me into the sea. Then the sea will become calm for you. For I know that this great tempest is because of me. So what was he doing? Assisted suicide? Is that what he was doing? Just throw me overboard. Could have jumped over himself. Just throw me over and the sea will calm down. He didn't want to live anymore, did he? Because he knew that God had sent that storm because of him. So he said, throw me over. And that's what happened. The sea stopped its raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice. They became very, very believing in his God. Brothers and sisters, there are so many people around us that are shouting out and crying out to their gods. Maybe they're not religious people. Maybe they're not spiritual people. Maybe they're not literally crying out to a deity or someone they believe in that sense. But everyone has their own gods. They're clamoring, they're crying out to their gods to satisfy their needs. All around us, it could be called idolatry. Whatever comes between God and you is an idol. And people are clamoring to them. People are trying so hard for those gods to satisfy their needs. When we have the message, we know the truth. And all we need to do is obey God if he sends us to somebody, or if he tells us to be kind to someone, or to meet someone's need. Not only to speak, but to live Christ before them. So God has called us, and the message is clear and plain. It's up to us to obey. So Jonah, the second thing is Jonah prays. What a place for a prayer meeting. The belly of the fish. You can't get any lower. He went down, down, down. But the bottom of the ship was not far enough. People can go far down. Know anybody who's out there that's still going down and they still haven't hit rock bottom? They still haven't got to the place where the only place to look is up. There are people out there that still have to go further down. You say, can it get any worse? Yes. And some people have to hit rock bottom. He didn't just hit rock bottom. He says in chapter 2 that he saw the bottom of the mountains. Where's that? In the sea. That's where the bottom of the mountains that we see on the top, we see mountains. Well, he saw the bottom, right into the sea, to see the bottom of those mountains. You know, we all live on mountains, right? If you look at it that way, we're on the mountain in Canada. It's a huge mountain from sea to sea to sea. Big mountain. But it starts down in the ocean. So that's what he saw. The base of the mountains, it says. Another thing he saw was the seaweed down there. And it was wrapping itself around him. He was choking in seaweed. We see some of the things that he went through down there to get to the place where he really prayed. In the belly of the fish. But he also was praying while he was going down, down, down. Because later in the fish's belly, he says, I was doing this, and I saw the seaweed come, and I experienced this and that. So reflecting on what he was experiencing, going down, 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 I said, I've had it. I'm done. It's over. The seaweed was wrapping around me. He says this when he's in the belly of the whale. You cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the floods surrounded me. He's saying this when he's in the fish's belly. What a place for a prayer meeting. Prayer meetings can be held anywhere. God says, pray without ceasing. Anywhere is a good place to pray. Sometimes we say, well, we can always pray about something because we think that's a last-ditch effort. It should be our first reaction. We need to pray about this. When something big happens, something small happens, nothing happens, we need to pray. Pray all the time for all things in every way. There are many ways to pray. We can praise God. We can worship God. That's one way to pray. Another way to pray is to confess. This is what Jonah was doing. He was praising God in the belly of the whale. He was worshiping God. Yes, he gave God his rightful place. And he confessed his sin. And then he had a prayer of rededication. He says, I will go. I will. He had changed his mind. God got his will. He said, yes. Already. Now, when he was praying down there in the belly of the whale, in the belly of the fish, I said, whale, it just comes out so naturally. We don't know what kind of fish it was. But he was alive in that fish. I wonder what the fish thought. Of course, fish don't think. But the fish was getting sick and tired, right, of this prophet who was so disobedient and so obstinate. And so stubborn. It really literally made him sick. Because we have these words. So when he said salvation is of the Lord. So the Lord spoke to the fish. It wasn't really because he got sick. I just said that. It was because the Lord spoke to the fish. And he said, now is the moment. And the fish vomited Jonah onto dry ground. That was a result of his prayer. Have you ever wondered how long you have to pray about something to see the result? Sometimes you pray about something in your day and you see the result. Wouldn't it be nice if that was the same with every prayer you made? Some of you are nodding your head and others are smiling. I know exactly what you're thinking, yeah? I've got some people I'm praying for and I wish it was just like that. That God would answer. Let me assure you, God does answer. He says yes, he says no, he says wait. But he always answers. We just keep praying. My wife and I pray daily for one of our children that we know needs to change. Anybody here got that problem? I won't ask for a show of hands. Someone in your family that you're concerned about. You pray daily for that person. And more or less praying the same thing, right? We don't know sometimes how to pray, but we just pray for his working. God will hear. God does hear. He answers. But in this case, he needed the prophet to be there and to be praying in the belly of the fish. And these are the verses here at the end of chapter 2. that Jonah prays. Chapter 2, verse 7, when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer went up to you into your holy temple. Those who regard worthless idols forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay what I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. Now that's a sign that Jonah knew exactly what was going to happen. He was going to be out of the belly of the fish, and he was going to be going to Nineveh. I will pay what I have vowed. I promised, Lord, I will obey. What a lesson to learn. How far does God have to take us? I hope to no belly of any fish. But, you know, we are stubborn people. We are stubborn people. And he sometimes has to go to extremes to get our attention. So the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry ground. Now the third P, we've got Jonah proposing his own plan. Then we've got Jonah praying, and all kinds of prayers are valid. All places are valid to pray. The Bible said that we should pray everywhere. Don't forget this about praying. And Jonah is the proof. If there was ever any proof, Jonah is the proof that anyone can backslide. He was a prophet of the Lord, a successful prophet of the Lord, a servant of God. Anyone can backslide. And he's also the proof that it doesn't matter where you are, what you've done, God can go there and get you back. The backslider can come back to the Lord. We praise the Lord for that. And God goes to great lengths to get our attention and then can use us again. So, now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach to it the message that I tell you. Same call, just a little bit later, circumstances later. And this is Jonah preaches. The P, Jonah preaches. So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city. Some people say it was 200 kilometers with a circumference of 200 kilometers. It was a huge city. A lot of people lived there. How do we know that? Well, in the last verse, it says, and should I not pity Nineveh, that great city in which are more than 120,000 persons who cannot discern between their right and their left hand? How big does a child get when he discerns the difference between his right and left hand? I'm not sure. I'm not up on that. But little children, 120,000 of them. How many people were there? Well, probably more than a million. People have calculated it was a huge city. So he was supposed to go to that great city. And Jonah began to enter the city on the first day's walk. Then he cried out and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Simple message. Hard to say. And he didn't want to say it, because he knew God was so compassionate and loving and kind. He didn't want to say this. You know, there have been prophets in the Old Testament that God told, they won't listen to you. Ezekiel one, Jeremiah another one, they won't listen to your message. Forget about trying to be prosperous. As a minister, as a servant, as a preacher, they won't listen to you. That's hard. No, he just told Jonah to be faithful and go and preach against this city. That in 40 days, if they wouldn't repent, Nineveh would be destroyed. So, he preached, right? He prayed, now he's preaching. And the P of prospering. Here is the prosperity he had. Verse 5, so the people of Nineveh believed God, proclaimed a fast, and put on sackcloth from the greatest to the least of them. Everyone was to dress in sackcloth. That was something they put underneath, would you think of a burlap bag? Underneath, close to your skin, so you remember you're fasting. How could you forget? Ooh, rubbing against my skin as I walk. I'd rather just sit here. Covered with sackcloth and sat in ashes. Now, the word came to the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne and laid aside his robe, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published throughout Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily to God. Yes, let everyone turn from his evil way and from the violence that is in his hands. Who can tell if God will turn and relent and turn away from his fierce anger so that we may not perish? Now that was conversion. That was instant conversion. That was repentance, true, genuine repentance that brought conversion. Then God saw their works. He saw what they were doing, that they turned from their evil way. He saw a change of attitude, a change of mind, and a change of behavior. That was true repentance. Change. And God relented from the disaster that he had said he would bring upon them, and he did not bring it. He did not do it. In his mercy. The merciful God does not give what we deserve. In Christ we see his mercy. He does not punish us with what we deserve. We all deserve hell. We deserve punishment forever for what we've done. But God in his mercy withholds the punishment because he turned it on Christ on our behalf. But God saw their works and turned from their that they had turned from their evil way, and he relented from the disaster. So was Jonah prosperous as a preacher? Yes, he was. That was the greatest revival ever. That was the greatest turning to God ever. A whole city repented. More than 1 million people. We talk about Pentecost with 3,000 souls being saved. This was even greater. What do you think Jonah would feel? Well, you would think he would have been happy. Finally, I did my mission. I did what God said I should do. Well, the last P is Jonah pouts. That's what he does. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he became angry. Angry at his prosperous preaching. So he prayed to the Lord, and he said, what kind of a prayer would that be? So he prayed to the Lord and said, oh Lord, was not this what I said when I was still in my country? I knew it. I knew this would happen. You know, would you have written an autobiography like this? We would not be inclined to write these things. How do we know this about Jonah? I mean, this must have come from Jonah, either from his quill writing it down or somebody else writing it because he dictated to them what happened. One of those, it had to be Jonah. We would not do that. We would tell about all the glorious things that happened. My prophecy about Israel expanding its borders. Yes, that was a glorious time. My prophecy about going into Nineveh and preaching and all of them repenting. But we wouldn't talk about the fish. And we wouldn't talk about our rebellious attitude. And we wouldn't talk about our pouting after, would we? Interesting. Therefore, I fled previously to Tarshish, for I know that you are a gracious and merciful God, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, One who relents from doing harm. I knew this. What do we know about God? This and more. We know so much about how good God is. We say it all the time. God is good. Yes, God is good all the time. All the time God is good. We know so many things about God, that He's merciful, compassionate, slow to anger, He's patient. He's so many things. Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Now that you've allowed them to repent and you have forgiven them, now I just want to die. Imagine. Then the Lord said, is it right for you to be angry? So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city. There he made himself a shelter and sat under it in the shade till he might see what would become of the city. The Lord who had provided and prepared a storm. The Lord who had prepared a big fish to swallow Jonah. The Lord who had prepared a people to repent. The Lord who had prepared his prophet to preach. The Lord also prepared what we're going to see now. He made himself a shade. The Lord prepared a plant and made it come up over Jonah, that it might be shade for his head to deliver him from his misery. Well, wasn't that kind? The Lord prepared, he even prepared that for Jonah. He knew his misery. He knew his kind of bad attitude that he had. But he prepared something to give him some relief from that sun. So Jonah was very grateful for the plant. But as morning dawned the next day, God prepared a worm. Another thing he prepared, a worm, and it so damaged the plant that it withered. And it happened when the sun arose that God prepared a vehement east wind. He prepared a plant, he prepared a worm to eat it, then he prepared a vehement east wind. And the sun beat on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. Then he wished death for himself and said, it is better for me to die than to live. Then God said to Jonah, is it right for you to be angry about the plant? And he said, it is right for me to be angry. Yes. Ever talk to God like that? You know, sometimes we think that when we talk to God, well, we even teach the children, now let us fold our hands, bow our heads as we speak to God in prayer. I think some of that hangs over to us when we think of how we need to present ourselves in God's presence. Fold our hands, bow our heads. I don't see Jonah doing that, and I don't see Elijah doing that when he speaks to him. And I don't see David doing that when he shouts out his laments. God is not shocked at us. He never is. Just try it someday. Tell him how you feel. He won't be shocked. You might be shocked. Did I actually say that? Wonder what he thought of me. And pretty soon, things get right again. We need to get honest with God. Sometimes we have our own ideas. But I like this. Are you right to be angry? Yes, I am right to be angry, he said. I'm really mad. Even to death. But the Lord said, you have had pity on the plant, for which you have not labored nor made it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should I not pity Nineveh, that great city in which are more than 120,000 who don't discern between their right hand and their left, and much livestock? Isn't that interesting? The Lord is so concerned about people that didn't, it's not their fault. You look around us in this world, there are so many people suffering things that is not their fault. You know, they didn't ask for the things that came on them. Abuse, so many kinds of abuse in our world. Sicknesses, they didn't ask to have cancer. You know, and they're out there saying, why? Why is this happening to me? Well, Jonah was just simply one of them. He was saying, I don't like it. I don't like this. I don't like that. He was a man right now of circumstances. His happiness was based on happenings. He didn't have the joy of the Lord there, did he? He was just happy because this happened, and not happy, unhappy because this didn't happen. But so much like us, or we are so much like Jonah. In first place, he had his own idea because he knew that God would be merciful, that God would be compassionate, that he would forgive Nineveh. Nineveh is our enemy. These people need to be punished. Then he was taught the lesson and he actually prayed from the fish, I will go to Nineveh. Yes, I will go to preach. So God got his will. And then in chapter 3, God gets his body. Yes, he goes and he preaches. He gets his mouth. Yes, he preaches. But God still didn't have his heart. We see God's heart in contrast, and we see God's heart today. Why has Jesus Christ not come back? And Rudy and I were just discussing this in the break. You know, we want him to come back. Who doesn't want him to come back? But then there is so-and-so that I still want to come to the Lord. Well, the Lord is long-suffering and he's patient and wants everyone to come to repentance. That's what he wants. That's his heart. What is our heart? Is our heart occupied with things, our well-being? Just having a nice time, a good time, and a better time? Is that what our life is about? Is it around things, around other people, around sports, around fashion, around whatever? Or is it around what God really is concerned about? In taking many sons to glory, as he says in Hebrews 2. He wants to take many sons to glory. The more, the better. And he is involving us in this work. So if Jonah has something to say to us this morning, it's that we don't go and sleep while others are perishing. That we are really burdened about those around us. To the degree that we will do anything, we will go anywhere, we will say anything, so that God's message gets to the people that need it, right around us. Not caring the color of their skin, not caring where they came from. If there's any a day in Canada when we as Christians need most to be the salt and the light to all those around us, it's now. It's now when there's so much hate, when there's so much racism, when there's so much phobia of this kind and the other. God wants us where he's placed us. Maybe it's not to go to a city to proclaim to them like Jonah had. But it is to those right around us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the lessons that you can teach us through your prophet Jonah. And we're so much like him. We confess that we're so much like him. We would rather see TV. We would rather be comfortable. We would rather go on trips. We would rather have a great time than proclaim your word. We confess that. And we just ask you to give us a burden. A burden like you have for the lost. You have said in your word that you are patient and long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So we pray that you will give us that burden as we go from this place, that we might speak your word, either in word or in deed. We pray this in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen.